Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Are we there?
Are we here?
Are we here?
Yay. All right. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. I'm at location at the newspaper's Media Center. And Julie's back at the Westminster Mansion.
The Annex here. Welcome to the Party Friday edition of Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by Colorado Citizens Press. And I want to say, too, and their national site, which is America's Citizen Press. Great blog site. I recommend you check it out. One that we look at all the time, along with Cenogenics. And then also, I want to kind of on a Friday at least mention my hair. Gina from Blondies, formerly Blondies, does a great job at hair. And I'll give you a little bit of information on how to get hold of her. Going to have Patrick Neville on today, Chuck, and then to talk about ongoing efforts to fight things. Also, Dr. Matt Dunn, our colleague, our former colleague at 710 CAN-US with Backbone Radio, and he's been tweeting about we need to start a new party. Well, we're waiting for Patrick. Here's something I just want to read you. This is just being tweeted out by Sam's number three, longtime client of the newspaper, I can't even tell how many calories I have consumed at Sam's number three. The newspaper, we used to have our staff meetings there. It's like Racine's, there's certain restaurants, and Alta Polterpack, there are certain restaurants in Denver that are just sort of the heart and soul of Denver. So this is from Sam's number three. The city and county of Denver has shut us down for serving four tables with improper airflow on our patio. To be clear, Sam's had sought guidance with regard to the proper airflow. They said, we've tried to get answers from the city and county of Denver. They stated that the flow was not compliant with the state's definition. So rather than guide us through the correct way, they shut us down. No warnings, no further guidance, and a ticket, and say you're basically shut down. They said, we'd like to thank everybody for all the great years in Denver, but we are shut. Then they listed the governor's office and the mayor's office. And here's the thing. Tell them that these unjust policies and the off-the-cuff shutdowns are destroying not only our industry, but the people's ability to pay bills and survive. I think, and Patrick, I see you're with us. Patrick, so I was just reading Sam's number three. You've probably eaten there. They've got locations all over. Just shut down by the city and county of Denver for not dangerously for having improper airflow, even though according to Sam's, they never gave them any kind of guidance about what the proper airflow would be, nor did they give them an opportunity to correct it. They just said shut down. So Patrick Neville, Representative Patrick Neville, once again, thank you for your time. What can we do, Patrick?
It's insane. I mean, and people shouldn't be surprised by this. I mean, there is no guidance. There has been no guidance from the very get-go, right? I mean, we don't have proper airflow guidance on anything. All the regulations are totally arbitrary, and this thing is being used as a giant power grab between the governor, between the regulators that go out, and it's almost become like a new religion for these folks.
Yes.
To go out there and use this as a way to just control people with whatever they think that they, however they can. And there's really no guidance or science behind it. And then they turn around and call us science deniers. And it's so frustrating because, again, like we have our constitution, we have our Colorado constitution. None of it's being followed. All of our freedoms and liberties are being taken away from us in the guise of this, COVID, which is it's a real virus. I'm not denying that. I spent an hour and a half with a friend who's been on a ventilator for almost 3 weeks just reading Bible verses to him in his room earlier this week. So, I mean, it's real. I don't deny that it's real, but this has gone way too far.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought of health officials as somewhat innocuous good guys.
Nice guys.
Yeah, now I realize they're just little fascists in hiding that now their big chance is to screw over people like Sam's number three, give them no guidance, just close them down, give them a ticket in our fine court system. It's very hard to not loathe your government these days. It is, and that's never a good thing. I mean, you know, as I said, I've spent some time in communist countries. I've spent time in Franco's Spain, where most people really dislike their governments. And I must admit, I dislike my government these days.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, this is kind of what I said back in March, and I used, you know, the word Gestapo-like mentality and got ridiculed by Kyle Clark and Resist and everyone, and they went after me. And well, guess what? You know, maybe I shouldn't use Gestapo-like, but it's definitely very authoritarian, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, they're just, you know, using this pandemic as ways to just close people down and shut things down, and there's really no rhyme or reason or logic to it. And now we're seeing studies coming out showing that, you know, restaurants are, you know, less than 2% of all the outbreaks. And, you know, we actually have big box stores that are part of the big outbreaks. And for back to March, guess what they did? They closed every single store, every single business other than the big box stores,
right?
Which probably fueled it even more. And it's insanity.
Chuck, let me ask you this, because you were having a discussion with another attorney who knows a thing or two about government regulations, and we were talking about the Lion's Den, where, by the way, they're having a rally Saturday, where they came in and they just took his booze. And the person we were talking to says there's nothing anywhere that gives them the authority if the booze was
in the liquor code. In the liquor code
that gives them the authority to go in and just take their booze. But he's like, but what do they do, right? I mean, who do you call, really?
Yeah, I
heard about that. That's totally insane. I even heard that there was actually a restaurant that was opening in Castle Rock. You know, I'm trying to track it down and confirm it, but I heard that ATF agents showed up in support of the operation. So it's getting rather concerning that these unelected bureaucrats, like I've said from the very get-go, the biggest problem with this is unelected bureaucrats making these decisions. And that's what we're seeing with these local health departments. They're using their authority. They seem to like it. They're totally drunk on power. I mean, the governor's drunk on power, but at least he's elected. At least we can throw him out. At least we can recall him. The unelected folks, you can't do anything with them. And these little agencies that are going out there, and I'm like deeply concerned if there's federal agencies now getting involved.
Right.
I mean, what do we do next?
With Biden as president. Let me ask you about this, Patrick, and to get your take on this, because, I mean, we've talked about, but I think it always bears repeating, sort of the ongoing hypocrisy. So you were mentioning, you know, the big box store outbreaks, right? Certain organizations where they have like two or more people that it's publicized, they're trashed by people like Channel 9 and stuff like that for being in outbreaks. But now the governor and the first gentleman both come down with COVID, and the governor refuses to tell people where he got it, refuses to say because it would violate their privacy. How many people in his office have tested? It's like, well, wait a minute. He wants to track us, right? But he won't give any information about how he got it, or where, how many people in his office have had it. I mean, what's up with that?
Oh, right. And then he calls us into special session.
Which, yeah.
You know, if you want to talk about a super spreader event, let's call everyone into special session. All 100 legislators from every geographic area of the state. And come on in one time, and I'll meet at one time. And so he calls that. He won't give out any of the information. We'll talk about where he got it, all the contact tracing. But then we're supposed to give more money to these contact tracers. I mean, there are bills that in the past that did that we tried to, you know, fight against as Republicans, because we don't need more money for contact tracers.
No.
And then there's been no metrics or science behind any of his decisions from the very get-go. And then to top it all off, he has that stupid video that he does where he sprays the bill with Lysol, like that would actually do anything. And then, you know, handles it with his hand again after he signed the pen and wasn't wearing a mask. So if you follow his logic, like even his own videos, he's not following his own logic. It's just insanity. If I were to do something like this, oh my goodness. I mean, every major mainstream media person would be out there. I would be, you know, leading story on Next with Kyle Clark with his righteous indignation. Oh, well, there, Patrick Neville. You know?
It's just ridiculous. And here's the thing, too, that this is because one of the things I want to get at real quick is, you know, thank God for people like you, because to me, it's sort of like it's time for Republicans. We point this out, but they're not going to change. They know all this. Governor Polis knows what he's doing. He doesn't care. So we need to take action. And that's why I think I'm so glad to see you guys calling for this legislative audit next week at the Colorado election. I mean, for sitting down, I mean, we had Dave Williams on Wednesday, who was explaining, you know, we thought we got to do something, and you look for a way to fight back, and you found it. So why don't you tell folks what's going on?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the reason why you have it is because, you know, you guys looked around and went, wait a minute, the audit committee is, regardless of the numbers in the House, it's 50-50 for the audit committee, and the chairmanship rotates between Republicans and Democrats, and this time it's Republicans. And so brilliantly, you've got, okay, let's have the audit committee audit this election, or at least have a hearing. So kudos to whoever came up with that idea.
Makes a ton of sense. So, I mean, it's one of those things, too, that you don't necessarily know how it's going to play out in the future, but those appointments make so much, they matter a lot. And so, you know, in the past, I put Lori Sain on there as our ranking member, and then she became the chair with the way things work. So, I mean, that was one of the appointments that I made, and you know, I kept to it, and Lori's done a wonderful job on that audit committee. And, you know, it's kind of one of the things like when we first kind of were talking about this is, well, Lori's, you know, the chair.
Yeah.
Would she do it? It's like, of course she would.
Of course she would.
Well, and that's the thing. And right? it's, and I don't care.
Yeah, she would do it.
And I don't care what Ken Buck says, and I don't care what Kyle Clark says, and they're like, there's no, and you know, YouTube won't let you guys post it on YouTube, I bet, because it's challenging the integrity. But thank God for you doing it, because there are too many Republicans, and you guys aren't any of them, who just sit around and say, well, there's nothing we can do. We pointed out this, the time for saying there's nothing we can do is over, because the Democrats, you know, like we said, Polis is destroying businesses. I saw a group of Colorado Springs business people file a lawsuit, and they said, we know the governor is well-intentioned and smart. Wake up, people. He's smart, but he is not well-intentioned. And thank God.
Well, where is your successor, Hugh McCain, these days? Is he hiding in his basement again?
Well, yeah, let Patrick answer that first.
Here's what concerns me, though, with this. So when we had it, it was like, okay, good. We're going to have a hearing. We're going to have some transparency. You know, I know the Democrats don't like it because it'll bring, you know, attention to it, but the rigor and with all the, you know, oomph they're putting behind it, with Marianne Goodwin writing terrible stories about it, all these different people writing terrible stories about it, Wayne Williams, you know, criticizing it, everyone criticizing it, it's starting to make you wonder, if you think our election system is so darn solid,
right,
and there's nothing out there to see, then you should be saying, yes, let's do some transparency. You want more audits? Let's do more audits. Let's prove. You know, but instead they're saying, no, this is outrageous. We can't do it. And that's what concerns me. That's where, you know, there's, you know, where there's smoke, there's probably fire, because you're seeing that. You're seeing all these different folks go, you know, totally against this and push back and, oh, we can't have this. Well, why not, guys? I mean, my idea behind doing this too is that I want to make sure that people don't automatically assume that our election system is rigged and stay at home and not vote. I want people, especially on my side of the aisle, to continue to get out there and vote. But if they think the system is rigged against them, they're going to stay at home. And that's, you know, in fact, de facto voter suppression. And I think that's what we
The system is rigged against
them.
They
want conservatives to think that the system's rigged against them and just stay at home and vote. And then they've got the media that's actually on their side saying there is no, you know, no problems here, nothing to see. And so it's a kind of a perfect storm for them, and I think that's why they're pushing back so hard.
Oh, I think you're
right. We talked about it before that in the movie Usual Suspects, the guy says the most effective thing the devil ever did was convince man that he didn't exist. And I'll have to say that's true for Democrats. The best thing they have ever done is convince people that our system is safe and reliable and honest. It is none of the three. It is totally rigged. And mail-in ballots just lead you to rigging. I hope you get into some of the riggings. I can tell you how people rig things. I mean, there's one national one on the nursing home one where a woman wanted to vote one way, but the staff said, no, you can't vote that way. You're filling the other one. And that's what's done in Colorado. You know, they threw out all the poll watchers from the nursing homes in Adams County.
It actually started out with Scott Gessler, who started this unified voting system. And then, you know, Wayne Williams took it on and really brought it to heart. And they chose Dominion. And back then, Dominion was the king and crowned it and everything. And everyone has to use Dominion systems. And if it wasn't for Douglas County that actually sued, and Merlin Klotz did a great job saying, hey, whoa, 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 you can't just pick one system and mandate that we all use it. That's not good for anything. If you want to pick certain requirements that systems have to meet, then pick certain requirements that systems have to meet and tell us what those requirements are. And once they meet them, approve them. But, you know, Wayne Williams and Scott Gessler both wanted just one system for the entire state, which if you want to find a way to, you know, lead to corruption and have like no audits and no transparency and you know, no way to actually look at elections, that's the way to do it. Just have one system. That's it. That's all you guys got to use.
Well, and you know, look at the questions.
Dominion is known for indirectly paying off people. They did it in Georgia and other places, and I don't doubt that Wayne Williams got his share.
No wonder they don't want people to ask questions about. Hey, Patrick, I know we don't have it for real long, but we've got Iggy called and he wants to talk to you. So, if you'll take, I'm sure I know you'll take the phone call. So let's bring Iggy on. Iggy, you're on with Chuck and Julie and Patrick Neville.
Hello, comrades. How's it going?
Good, comrade.
Mr. Neville, speaking of small businesses, I'm involved in tire recycling, and they have taken the tire recycling fund twice now, and a lot of small businesses in that industry have set their business plan on receiving that money. What's going to happen? I mean, it's causing a lot of economic trouble in this tire recycling business for our small people.
Are you up to speed on that?
Kind of a Democrats game, right? That's what they do. They set up these little funds, and usually they're supposed to be cash funds, and that's the way they set them up. But then when times get troubled, they ignore Tabor. They go in, they reach into these funds. Tire recycling fund's not the only one that they reached into this year. They reached into a lot of different funds. And, you know, this year they did it all on behalf of, well, we got to help people out, or we got to help the restaurants, you know, the latest special session, right? We got to give them this little, like, you know, tiny check to help out the restaurants. But then they rob these cash funds that are actually set up for a specific purpose, like you have. I think that's a total violation of Tabor, but the Colorado Supreme Court lets them get away with it each time.
If they really want to help us out, they need to leave us the hell alone and let us have the funds that were set aside for us from when they're charging people per tire.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it drives me nuts that I've got to pay the fee in the first place, but if I'm going to pay the fee, I at least want to go to actually cover what the fee is supposed to cover, you know, catches on fire later on.
If you can bring it up next session or tell us what we need to do so we can get our money and get paid.
All right. Hey, Iggy, thank you. I think it's hopeless.
Do that. Bye.
And luckily we've got Kim Ransom on the Joint Budget Committee, and she's always kind of a great way to watch those votes on what happens with those different fees, because usually all those votes happen in the Joint Budget Committee and they're small little votes that no one pays attention to. And so Kim Ransom is known for voting no on all these different little cash fund bills when they try to rob the cash fund. And usually she's the lone no vote.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, oh gosh, she just votes no on everything. No, she's doing the right thing. And so, you know, God bless her and the fact that we have her on that committee.
I want to ask you something, Patrick. What is Hugh McCain up to? I mean, is he hiding? Is he doing a Biden deal? He seems to be MIA. I mean, or maybe that's why he was elected, so he could just hide in the basement or whatever he's doing.
Well, you know, I think he's been busy doing committee assignments and whatnot. He got released today. Got in leadership and they're going, okay, there's more to this than I thought in the past.
Well, and Patrick, though, and so for folks who know what we're talking about, Patrick was the minority leader of the at the Colorado House. He essentially said, I'm not going to run again, in part because he just had so much fun, and in another part because you felt you could do more good outside of it. Hugh McCain is kind of an establishment guy. But that leads into something I want to ask you about, sort of a final question from me, and we're going to be talking to Matt Dunn about this. I sense, though, Patrick, a change. I sense that people are getting more and more fed up. And maybe they weren't particularly political to begin with. But I think that people, and particularly Republicans, I don't even watch, Cory Gardner's farewell speech. I'm like, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you, you know. That's just what I sense, though, that this grassroots movement, we've got restaurants standing up. We've got businesses standing up. Am I just being overly optimistic, or are you hearing from people and seeing any of this too?
Oh, no, I'm definitely seeing it as well. And that's actually really, I'm really happy I didn't run for minority leader. It feels so freeing not to be in that position, not to have to worry about all this stuff and just speak freely on all these different issues. And, you know, Chris Hulbert was texting me about some stuff the other night, and I was just like, hey, here's what I have to worry about right now. It's like, you know, it's nothing. So it feels great. I've been able to take care of like several different constituent issues that I didn't have time for in the past because I was taking care of other legislators' problems or working with them. It's just feels so freeing to not be tied down to that and actually focus, because I've got a great district. My district is Castle Rock, Castle Pines, and, you know, Pisa Parker, and the constituents here are so great. And so I actually get to focus on my district some more and not worry about every other representative and, you know, whether or not their ego is hurt. I just get and freedom and the things I love. And it's a wonderful thing.
All right.
So let me ask my final question or inquiry is, when is this special audit committee going to be? When is the hearing going to be? When?
I think it's the 15th. I know it's the 15th. I think it's the 10 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. And let me ask you, Luell, part two of this last question. Are the Republicans going to really try to look at how Democrats rig elections? That's just Dominion voting machines. I mean, I don't know if they rigged them this time or not. But mail-in ballots, you know, Denver allows the same day curing of ballots, and all the Republican counties don't. The fact that poll watchers in Adams County and other places were thrown out, and so there was no signature verification they could do. There are 100 other ones.
And you know this, Chuck, well, but for the listeners out there, there's a lot more to it than just some algorithm in a Dominion machine. That might, right. You know, the Dominion machines in Colorado actually might check out. It might actually, right. I think our logic and accuracy test should be like larger than they are, a larger sample size, and should be chosen more at random than they are. But I mean, those are things that it might check out at the end. I think where the fraud is truly happening is before the ballots actually ever even arrive to the place where they're actually counted. And that's where we have a problem, where we have more ballots being sent out than we have registered voters, because state law doesn't allow for those people to drop off the rolls. We don't have good systems in place to actually look at the, the national change of address forms that go out. So when someone moves to a different state, they're still getting a ballot. I know I had this when I, you know, bought a house 3 years ago. I was still getting the previous owners. They moved to California. I was getting their ballots, and I could probably open those up and possibly, and then, you know, if you do write down a signature and then it goes to one of those judges that doesn't look at the signature correctly, they'll pass it right through. So signature verification is a big piece on this. I would like to see actually more electronic signature verification and process, because I think it's more accurate. And then I think we should have two judges probably looking at the signature instead of just one. Right now, it's basically one judge looks at it. So one judge can just keep hitting yes, 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 and like let them all through. And it only goes to two judges if they hit no. And so if they hit no, then it goes to two judges, and then two judges have to decide whether or not it's no. And if they can't agree, then it's one of the, you know, the people that work for the clerk let it through. So if you've got a bad clerk's office, they're all getting let through as well. So lots of different issues. Our system is not.
And that's why I think, you know, you get the Marianne Goodlands. Well, that's why you get the Marianne Goodlands and the Kyle Clarks and everybody else going bonkers over this
which seems
to be
innocuous.
And so that, I mean, even the densest of people, like the chairman of the Republican Party, would realize that it is not the gold standard of election systems.
I think it's bigger than, I mean, a lot of folks think that there's, you know, some guy running around there with thumb drives corrupting Dominion machines. I don't think that's what's going on in Colorado at all.
No.
It's much, you know, larger than that. It's not necessarily coordinated.
Right.
Happens. And then you've got little things too that we probably need to fix up too. Like with same day registration, you could bus in, a couple hundred people in a competitive district
And they do.
Register and vote.
And they
absolutely do it. And there's nothing illegal about it. And that's the problem. So they're saying, well, there's no fraud because it wasn't illegal. Well, it's because our laws are so loose. And we probably need to fix them and tighten them up, because I think if the general public knew that that was, you could do that, they'd be totally against it. And then, you know, we also have district attorneys who don't prosecute correctly. Here in you know, the 18th judicial, there was a person, I think back in, I want to say 2014 or 2016, who one day voted in Douglas County, the next day went in person and voted in Elbert County. And that person was never prosecuted for voter fraud. They said, well, it would have been hard to prove, so we don't want to waste our resources.
The 18th judicial district is George Brockler. And so next time I see him, and I see him, you know, every once in a while, I'm going to really bring that up, because, you know, the Democrats are never going to bring up voter fraud.
It was his call, and I know Merlin Klotz, you know, brought it to his office and said, you know, you should look into this and check into this for voter fraud. And they said, no, we can't prosecute it because we can't prove the voter's intent.
Well, you can prove intent if
it was seriously the next day you're walking into a different county and voting there. Yeah, your intent was to vote twice.
Right. Oh, Patrick.
Well, that is pretty amazing. What was the name? Who brought it to the DA's attention?
I believe it was Merlin Klotz. I think he was the clerk, or it might have been Jack Arrowsmith before that. I'll try to get the details. I'll reach out to Merlin.
Okay.
I know he brought it up in several different hearings when we were trying to tighten this law back in 2015 when I was in the legislature. I was just on the State Affairs Committee. And they brought some bills to tighten up, and Merlin came and testified and talked about that specifically. And the Democrats' answer was, well, they rejected his second ballot, so it's all good.
Well, no,
it's not good, because which place was he supposed to be voting in the first place? Was it Elbert?
Yeah.
Or was it Douglas?
Right. It depends. And that matters.
Voting in the wrong place, you should be prosecuted for fraud.
Exactly. And Patrick, this from one of our listeners are typed in, you know, Patrick, know this. This is from Mark. I do not believe my vote counts, and neither do any of my friends. Small sample poll, but I bet it's representative of at least half of Colorado voters. Listen, we got to let you go. Thank you, Patrick, for everything that you're doing. Hang in there. And you know, we'll stay in touch on this hearing next week. We just so appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, Patrick, every once in a while I get really discouraged, and then I think, well, there are people like Patrick Neville and Dave Williams. They're not all just sold out establishment hacks like Hugh McKean. So you give us all a little bit of hope.
Thanks, sir.
No, well, thanks. And you guys give me free therapy by being on. So.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Patrick Neville there doing a great job fighting for us. Thank you, Patrick. Hey, we've got Matt Dunn has called in now. I've been reading Matt Dunn was our former colleague. He does Backbone Radio at 710 KNUS on Sundays. And I've been with delight watching Matt's tweets and his comments. So I texted him and said, hey, I know he's busy. Can you come on? So Matt, thank you for your time. Appreciate having you here today.
Chuck and Julie, great to be in here with you. Thanks for having me on board.
Yeah. So wanted to launch up because I absolutely agree with you. I was starting to say, you know, with Patrick, I said, I sense, and this is what gives me hope, that people have kind of had it, whether they're restaurant owners. We were renting skis the other day. Nobody in there was wearing a mask. They're saying, not wearing a mask, it's stupid. And they were explaining to people how to get around some of the ridiculous, rigid rules for skiing. I mean, these aren't people who are political. These are just people saying, hey, we're just trying to make a living. And I, you know, in your tweets, you've been saying that the establishments, people recognize now that the Republican establishments are the same as the global uniparty swamp people. And I think there is absolutely a growing move to start something new. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I think so, very definitely. You know, some of us have recognized that the Republican Party establishment, you know, has been essentially enslaving Republican Party voters for decades. Okay, this is not like a new thing, but they play a very vicious little game with the Republican Party voter. And it's hard for many voters, I think, to realize what they're dealing with when it comes down to the Republican establishment. But after 4 years of Trump, and then after this election cheat, steal business, and the way the Republican Party establishment is treating Trump now, I mean, it should be, I mean, the blinders should be pulled off everybody. And I just feel that to the extent that I talk to an awful lot of people, I think a lot of people are having the same thoughts right now at the same time, that what is the point of being a Republican voter? What is the point of being in the Republican Party? If the Republican voter was ever going to have leverage over the Republican establishment, over elected Republican officials, it would be now. After 4 years of Donald Trump and having done a great job as president and 95-96% support within the Republican Party voting ranks, we should have it now. But you look around and you see what the same old outlets are doing, what Fox News is doing, what National Review is doing, what even like Newt Gingrich is doing out there. It's a racket, and I mean, I'm about at the end of my road there. How about you all?
Well, I have to say, you know, being a student of history, you know, the closest thing that you could sort of have to that is when Teddy Roosevelt started the Bull Moose Party, because he was so sick of Taft and all the establishment Republicans and all that. And I have to say, all that it did was get Woodrow Wilson elected, and he brought in the beginning of the socialist agenda. So unless somebody like Trump himself decides to do it, and even then, it's difficult, because all you're doing is getting more Democrats elected, which is...
That is a huge variable here. And you almost wonder that the MAGA legacy could be so big that maybe even without formally Trump being the candidate, that it could go on without him. But think about this. Say you do get more Democrats elected. How is that essentially different than what we have now with a Senate Republican Party that was completely corrupt and useless, you know, and the Mitt Romneys and the Susan Collinses and so forth? It's small fry stuff. If the Uniparty is run by the globalist oligarchs and the establishment is the establishment, why not, you know, the MAGA party goes elsewhere and you let the globalist oligarchs deal with the communists who get in power and try to go confiscate all of their globalist oligarch wealth? Does that make sense?
Yeah, Matt, I think I absolutely agree with where you're going there. I mean, you look at, you know, because we could get into this. I know you followed, you know, a lot of the Russia hoax stuff. And now we're learning that Bill Barr knew all along about the Hunter Biden stuff and deliberately, you know, didn't say anything about it. I mean, how much, you know, Judge Jeanine was right. He's part of the swamp. I'm beginning to think like you that, number one, you know, Republicans for so long, what we do is we try to persuade people to think of our way. Well, the Democrats just trample right over us and crush us. Like you keep saying, it's like we're throwing stones at them and they've got these giant tanks that roll over us. And then we have our generals, the establishment, saying, well, it's not fair to fight with tanks. And then, you know, they hop onto the back right after they crush the citizenry. What do we have to lose? I'm beginning to think at a certain
point. Well, you have a lot to lose. You know, who knows if they win the two Georgia elections, you're going to find out of how badly it can get. The other problem is the same with the Tea Party movement. Tea Party movement started, it really was a grassroots revolt, legitimate all the way through. But look, all the people that glommed onto it and really perverted it. I mean, the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers come in.
The fifth column will jump in to corrupt any third party. There's no doubt about it. And it's extremely challenging and perilous. But what if the starting point is this, that the Republic is dead, America is dead, the Constitution is dead, it has been overtaken by the power interests of the establishment elite, by the globalists. And so at some point, you realize you don't have anything to lose. And you realize that the sentiment of the American patriot, of the Republican Party voter, that is the majority sentiment in this country.
Right.
We can just find a way to get our own outlets, our own media, and maybe find a way to somehow cobble together, in spite of all the odds, an outlet for our votes, meaning a party that maybe, you know, at the end times, end of the Republic times, that's what starts needing to happen, at least as the devil's advocate here on that, Chuck.
Well, and, you know, Chuck, and let me jump in here, too. I think
he's talking to me, Julie. He's talking to me, Julie.
Hi,
you. Not our little sweetster. He's talking to me.
Okay.
But you go ahead, Julie, because, you know, that's
I just want to point out, Ben Nicholas has chimed in the chat room that the Tea Party did have an effect, and it did. And I think, Matt, that maybe...
But it got captured by the Koch brothers.
Well, I understand, but there is some reason to be hope. I mean, I don't know that it has to be all or nothing. In other words, we've seen now 21 states join in on this Texas lawsuit that initially they were all quick to tell us it was completely stupid. We've got, 125 members of Congress, of course, no senators. But I think, though, there are some people who hear, and I think there might be some politicians with a certain amount of courage and integrity who, if they know they have the support, and Matt, I think you hit a good point there, and that is we're not talking about a handful of people. We're talking about the majority of people in the country right now, pardon my language here, but are pissed off. And it's not like you've got, you know, one or two kind of rogue people out there with some rogue ideas. You've got tens of millions of people, and all of whom I think are even further fired up by having their business destroyed by these Democrat progressive policies while you watch Republicans sit by and do nothing. So I don't know. I think that there it doesn't have to.
Find the channel. Find the channel for the majority sentiment in this country. That's what will save it. But we are up against.
Well, how does it save it?
The big money, the globalist billionaires.
Well, they just rigged the last election. Even notwithstanding the fact that Republicans, you know, controlled the Senate and controlled the executive, they still were able to crook the elections in Georgia by buying off the Secretary of State. They crooked over a majority. I mean, I'm starting to like better the succession idea that let blue states be blue, and if we're in a blue state, we'll move to Montana or something. But I don't want to be around Democrats. I mean,
if Americans are honest with each other and listen to what, you know, deep down their instincts are telling them, that we probably are reaching that secession moment where it might be better for this country in some ways to have some kind of a national divorce or to just agree to live separately, ideally amicably.
Right.
But the thing is that it would never be allowed to happen amicably.
Right.
Because
right.
The people on top, the globalist big money on top, they want to enslave the patriot of this country. They want to rub the patriot nose in their control, in their gulag. So it's interesting times to be pondering the directions of this country right now.
I think there's another thing that gives me a little bit of hope, and that is, you know, and I've talked about this before, but you're seeing now with the complete, and Donald Trump was the first one to really drive it home, the fake news, right? And I think so there are, again, not just a handful of people, but millions of people who now no longer trust at all that corporate elite media. And meanwhile, you've seen things like Rumble, Parler, Newsmax, now beating Fox News. I mean, I think you're right. There are enough people who have been woke, so to speak, themselves, that I think that this is not a movement, I think, that the globalists and the establishment elites on both sides of the aisle are going to be able to shove back in the bottle. I think where we go, I don't know.
If we could just find an enterprising billionaire or two out there who do want to set up a MAGA media complex, and that would be the social media, that would be the you know, well-produced television outlets. I mean, they would become, you know, probably trillionaires. I mean, there is such a massive market for that. But then the thing is, all the other billionaires who are, you know, the globalist types would do everything in their power to try to block and thwart that at every step of the way. And,
oh, absolutely.
And attack those patriot billionaires for what they're doing, which is what we've seen with President Trump and all these
years,
right?
Well, just look what they did to the Drudge Report. They found that to be highly effective. So they just bought it out. Told Drudge, you can't say anything. Here's 50 million or how many billion, trillions he got. And you just go away and we'll run it. They will.
Fox News. That's what happened there.
Yes. Right. Yes. Fox News.
But I think.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Matt.
These things. Yeah. But one quick point. Say you're a cow, Chuck and Julie. Say you're a cow, and you get herded into a certain corral. And it's very easy for lever pullers and string pullers to herd cows into a certain corral with certain inducements and enticements. Say, oh, this is the place you should go into this corral if you believe in X, Y, and Z. And say that's the Drudge Report, Fox News, National Review corral. Right. So then everybody gets in there, and the cows are there, their eyeballs are all there. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, somehow they get sold out, or somehow that corral gets undermined, and then boom, it's off to the feedlot faster than it would have been if they weren't in that corral in the first place. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're up against, and I hope more people can be realizing what's happening right now. And in that, I think that's a pretty accurate metaphor for where we are in America now.
No, I think you're right. They have corralled us,
it's a practical matter. You think that the hundreds of millions of people in the Soviet Union under Stalin saying this is great, this is wonderful. You think hundreds of millions in China who don't want to be under a communist regime, including all those in Hong Kong. It is the fact that the Uniparty and the globalists, human beings live under tyranny and they put up with it or they die.
It's the story of human history in that the small few can end up enslaving the masses, putting the masses in the gulag. And it's very hard to get, the masses or even patriots in America, freedom-loving, constitution-loving patriots to work together. You know, if we could snap our fingers and say, all right, new party, let's all do it. But then it's going to be hard because you're going to have a lot of people say, oh, well, Democrats are going to raise taxes if they get the Senate. Oh, and, it's going to be all the small fry stuff that's going to be put before us. Like, oh, this is somebody you can't let the Democrats have. But it's all small fry stuff at the end of the Republic. If we could only see the bigger picture about, the greatest civilization on the planet is dying right now. And if we don't come together, we lose it.
And here again, I think that, again, because I'm the hopeful one, one of the things that gives me a little bit of hope is what we're seeing is, to a certain extent, I think I call it sort of the revolt of the average small business guy, right? We're seeing people who say, I've told this story before, I have a friend who owns a small business, and she says, I don't care if they threaten to close me down. She said, if I have to close down by their order, I'm going to go bankrupt and lose my business. So if I lose my business when they close me down, or I lose my business because the rules close me down, I'm still out of business. So at least I'm going to go down fighting. I think that there are a lot of people, Matt, once you start hitting people in their pocketbook, in their livelihood, it's harder and harder to turn the other way and pretend like nothing is happening. And I think, the defund the police movements, the riots, the rise in crime, there are a lot of things going on that are affecting people that aren't just sort of, rhetorical political discussions on talk shows. These are things that actually are hitting people right at home. Their kids aren't being able to go to school. The parents can't work. I mean, I think people have had it. And I just think that.
And a group of people who had it in the old Soviet Union were called the kulaks. Those were people, Russia was an agrarian society. So they're not small businesses, but they were small farmers, but prosperous ones, small prosperous farmers. And they ran and helped feed the entire country, and Stalin just wiped them out. They disappeared from the face of the earth. You got to figure out what you're against. I mean, just to say, we're annoyed, we're mad. Oh, okay. Well, what are you going to do about it, and what are they going to do?
Every small business say at the same time in unison said, no, you can't shut us down. There's a lot more of us than them, and there is not enough regulatory capacity in this country to go in and shut down every small business. It just didn't work. But it's hard to get people to unify and have courage in unison, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And one of the main deals with that is the means of communication and having a media, a way to have people reach out to each other, you know, and social media has been compromised, obviously, by the Twitter yes. gulag and the Facebook and the censorship.
Right.
And the major
right.
media, 100% co-opted. And yes, that includes Fox News. So you need to have a way that people can see what's really happening and communicate with each other. And that's one thing that the oligarchs are doing everything they can to prevent from ever happening. You know what I mean?
Think, well, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. Let me ask you a related. Let me ask you a related question. You know, you were one of the great experts on the Russia hoax and all the permutations and all the way through. And I think you were similar to me that I wasn't sure if H.G. Barr was a good guy or a bad guy. I've come to a conclusion on that. I don't know if you have.
Well, I have. And okay. He blew it. He missed the deadlines. He gave a lot of pretty speeches, and he never did a damn thing. He never accomplished anything. And that also applies yep. to Durham. And right now you're seeing these news stories about, well, we still might get something from Durham, or Durham is still active, or Barr is still
yeah,
doing
sure.
this. They're looking at Hunter Biden's laptop. And you know what? I mean, that ship has sailed. They
yeah.
they
right.
have blown it. And that's another end times thing, is when you have the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the bureaucratic agencies, the executive branch agencies cannot police each other. And in fact, do the opposite. They embolden one another, those agencies, in essentially, you know, cartel gangland enterprise activity.
Yeah.
Probably in collusion with, you know, the big money oligarch people. And that,
yes.
that's what we're up against.
That's another
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got Barney on the phone. Barney, we can maybe convince him to run for something in our new party there. Hey, Barney, you're on the phone with Chuck and Julie and Matt Dunn, Dr. Dunn from Backbone Radio.
Hey, love you, Chuck. Love you, Julie. Love you, Matt. So the views of this caller might not reflect the views of all three of you, but I've got to say this. So we have these five states. We have a governor in Georgia that's a flat-out puke Republican. And, you know, Matt brings up Barr. I wonder who's going to change his diaper after all this is said and done. What's happened is we're on to the game, and this is a high – look, I'm just telling you what I think. I'm not telling you I want to pick up a black rifle and start shooting people. But there's a haze right now going on. And I just don't think for one second, when we get told on January, whatever, that our new president is this butt clown. There's a haze out there, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I just don't think we're going to take it. And we're sure as hell not going to sit back and say, ho-hum, the Democrats won, a little bit of cheating. I mean, there's something really wicked going on. And I, in one breath, I can say, I can't wait. When I say I can't wait, I just want to – I always said I wanted the Supreme Court fixed. That was my biggest thing. I didn't give a damn about George W. or any of these guys, but I wanted the Supreme Court fixed. So now we get a good fix on the Supreme Court, and we got this butt clown telling us there's going to be 49 Supreme Court justices. I don't know. I think we've had it, and I don't know. I just have a feeling we might be headed for some dark times. And the problem is, like I've always said, I don't want to be the first guy out there with the black rifle, since everybody already thinks I'm crazy, but I'll be damned if I'm not the second guy. And I don't know, man. I think this is where we're headed, and we're in a haze right now, and I think people aren't going to take this crap sandwich they're trying to shove down our throat. I really don't. But anyway, I love you, and I'd like to hear you tell me I'm wrong. But
All right. Thank you, Barney. Matt, you can go first, Matt.
Well, I mean, how do you follow that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is, you know, the people will not accept Biden as president should he be installed as president. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't smell right at all. There's too much fraud. Everybody smells it, sniffs it, feels it. You know, he just hid in his basement the whole time. They ran the cheat. Very obvious. And nothing can convince us otherwise. And then if you start censoring on YouTube, anybody criticizing the veracity of the election, that only makes it worse, to the extent that people can get themselves informed on it.
Right.
So that's one thing to just completely not accept it. And it's another thing is, you know, okay, where do we go from here?
What do we do?
Is there
that's
potential
a good point.
For active civil war? Is there potential for some form of secession? Is there potential for some kind of just sort of passive resistance? Who knows? But, you know, the right wing maybe at some point they go Che Guevara. I mean, it is possible that Che Guevara, you know, from the left, was involved in guerrilla warfare to overthrow a corrupt establishment in Cuba. And at some point, you know, the shoe's on the other foot. I mean, it's, you can't rule it out.
No, you know, this is going around on Twitter right now, that Michigan, they did a forensic audit of the Dominion voting system machines, right, to see if they are rigged. Well, the attorney general of the state is blocking the disclosure of the audit results. So, you know, it's kind of
there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Like you said, hopefully people are woken. And I'm hoping, you know, Mark is texting us saying, hey, it doesn't take a lot of people. It just takes the shot heard around the world, like what happened on April 18, 1775 in Massachusetts. Once started, it can't be stopped. I don't know that we have to go to shots fight or anything like that. But I just, you know, I just think you have this stuff like, okay, Michigan, we're going to do an audit, but now we're not going to tell you what's in it. I'm hoping, Matt, that people... just enough, like you said, if enough businesses just open, right, and just say, no, I'm not going to shut down, I'm going to stay open, and enough people say, I'm going to go support that business, I think there's not enough bureaucracy, and maybe I'll be wrong, to shut everybody down.
No, you're wrong, because I've lived in totalitarian states, and there's right. always enough gulag people, and ATF people, and FBI people, and National Guard people to crush everybody. You have to have lived in a totalitarian system to have some appreciation. And I agree with Matt. I mean, that's where I think we're headed. We're headed for a totalitarian.
The time is now to try to stop it and to shake it up. I mean, we maybe still have a little bit of a window here, but yet, you know, Biden gets installed, say, and the GOP establishment consolidates its power and essentially slave operation against its own Republican voters, then, I mean, we really start sliding ever faster down the slippery slope, point of no return.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Matt, listen, we've only got a couple minutes left. Tell folks, I mean, probably everybody listening to us knows how to listen to you, but just tell folks what you got coming up this weekend and where they can listen to you.
Well, yeah, Backbone Radio, Sundays. It's now 4 to 7 p.m. I moved up an hour so I could go home and tuck my little kids in.
All right.
Good move.
Yeah, Sunday nights. And, you know, I have just been chronicling since the election, trying to document the fraud, the steal, the cheat, and, you know, Donald Trump's position, his fight. He's standing up to it. He's not giving in. Try to document some of the legal cases, see if they have anything that we can stand on. And, you know, try to make sure that people understand that it's just not a legit deal with this Biden election, and also understand the corruption of the Republican Party establishment. So I'm just trying to bring all of that home, just by collating the latest events as each week goes by. So,
that must be interesting.
Yeah.
It must be interesting to listen to Peter from 4 to 9 Monday through Friday for his view that
everything's pathetic. We didn't have time to get into that, though.
And listen to you Sunday night from 4 to 7. I'll have to admit that
every host has their own take on it. And one thing I'll tell you, every caller to Backbone Radio, and it's like full lines every minute of every show, especially this past month, every minute.
Yeah.
And every single caller is full of fight. I mean, no one is rolling over. Nobody. Yep. Nobody buys it about Biden supposedly having won. So the spirit is strong, at least in what I call backbone country.
it sounds like your show is going full blast.
Yep.
Full blast.
Count us among your many followers and supporters. Matt Dunn, thank you so much. Everybody,
thank you, Matt. We appreciate you having you on.
Chuck and Julie, for the record, you guys are the greatest people ever, and I'm honored by your friendship and our chances to visit, which are not quite often enough.
All right.
Yeah, talk soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you now.
Take care.
Thank you, Matt. Hey, listen, we got to wrap it up quick here, Chuck. I want to thank everybody. Thank Matt. Thank Patrick Neville. Remember, you can get all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Would love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. You can go at our website. Now we've got cool features that allow you to call straight in from that website if you want to call into the show. But would love to have you go to YouTube and subscribe. We're almost at 500. If we can hit 500, then Rev would be proud of us. Monday, I just checked, nothing from the Supreme Court yet. So we'll see. And I've been doing a little bit of research, and I can explain this Monday. Monday is not, I think, the deadline deadline that the mainstream media and the establishment would like us to believe.
There are only deadlines for populists and Republicans. No deadlines for Democrats. Election day is not election day. Any other day, if it was up to them, you know, electoral college, they play by their own separate rules.
Right.
And we've got to start playing by our own separate rules.
Exactly. Hey, thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and for chiming in. Thank you to the guys at BBS Radio. Chuck is out to party on Party Friday.
Friday, that's what Fridays are for. Off to the Cub Scouts at the Ballerina Hall.
Hey, everybody, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, and thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye. Talk to you Monday.